Hello, Oncers. Welcome back to the Once Upon a Time After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we're talking about Season 6, Episode 12, Ill Boding Patterns. I said it right.
You did.
R.I.P. Blue Fairy. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Once Upon a Time. I am your host, Tiana Hobson.
Why are you guys looking? I don't know. I just gotta say, I was super upset you guys weren't holding hands because that's your ritual.
I know. I looked over.
She had to make sure her phone didn't start talking in the middle of my opening.
Like, there's no way to mute it until after it goes. It's so annoying.
Yeah, it's very annoying. So here, we're holding hands now. Joining me tonight, I've got the love of my life, Roxy Stryer, back.
Yeah, right. Not only am I the love of your life, but we also got dinner tonight, so it's official. It's official. We are dating.
We went on a date. So
start
so
shipping,
cute.
Everyone.
What was our ship name?
I forget. Tioxy?
Tioxy or
Rihanna.
Oh my gosh.
What? Almost too perfect.
And on the other side of the table, we got Mr. Dakota T. Jones, who won't stop winking at me. What I'm in a relationship, guys? Dakota.
Excuse you?
Can we just have a throuple?
Oh my god.
Anyway, you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
And the professor herself, Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everybody. Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV.
Initial thoughts on tonight's episode?
I'm so mad.
Anger,
so
many rage. Things.
I am so mad.
So many things.
Because, like, I've waited for years of my life for this episode. Years. We all have.
Oh, I know.
We've been waiting for years. And this is what you're going to do to me? This is what you're going to do. I mean, for so many different reasons. You've been waiting for years for a reunion now.
Yep.
We've been waiting for years for an engagement. Hashtag pissed.
And it just all goes
and
down
the way
in the
it's
worst
going
way.
Down, ah. too. It's like we get some semblance of it, but it's not in the way that we want it or we should. No, I don't want to say deserve, but the way that we've been expecting it to play out, it's not happening.
Why
that
can't
way.
You say deserve? We do deserve
we
it.
Because we'll call ourselves entitled millennials, and then we don't want that.
I don't care. I am an entitled millennial. I deserve it. Give me the happy ending that I want.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, like, I know we're completely jumping to this, but, you know, like, the engagement that you guys, you're hookers for life. Like, I'm not as big as a fan as you guys, but I know I'm upset for you guys that you didn't get the kind of engagement
Thank
you.
That
you should have.
I appreciate Thank that. Thank you.
Like, I felt for all of you.
Tiana's no, like, I feel really? Personally victimized.
By everyone. So let's backpedal a bit. Yeah. Let's roll back.
You want to flashback a little bit?
We're going to flashback a little bit. To the first Ogre Wars, it was a dark time for many, and only one could come out triumphant, and that one person was not Beowulf, as we predicted it would be, but Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, and I don't think that was by choice, either. It was by force.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not like he wanted to, which is ironic, because we know that Rumpel was... Well, gold, I think, you know, Rumpel was a coward because he didn't want to go to the freaking Ogre Wars. And then, ironically, he's back at the Ogre Wars and he's the one that
and
killed them all.
He killed them all, I know. Yes.
Like, why is this the first we're hearing about him being a hero of the Ogre Wars?
Because of the memory potion, duh. all right, so I want to ask a question that I know sometimes I say stupid stuff on the show, like, it happens, but I will just ask this so Professor Serafini can make all of us, you know, outsmart the rest of us.
Oh, I know what your question is.
What's
now.
Up with Beowulf? This is a poem or something?
No, okay, so this is a legendary story. I don't know if... there are some schools and high schools that you're kind of forced to read. I was one of those people who was forced to read this in high school. No?
I read the Iliad.
I read that, too.
I don't know what that is.
But this was a story, the story of Beowulf and Grendel. Beowulf is, like, this big, monstrous, kind of like a legendary, not really a god, but he was, like, revered by his people, and he's, like, the big, strong warrior.
Wait, I'm not understanding. Is it Beowulf or
Beowulf?
Beowulf.
B-E-O-W-U-L-F.
Which is
Beowulf.
Very close Beowulf. To Balefire.
I know.
So,
yeah. So weird.
Bayo and Bay.
And
very
also
confusing.
To Bay. Yeah.
He's like the legendary folklore kind of character who's known for being a strong warrior. And his big, big creature that he's known to defeat was Grendel. Grendel the creature.
But he's supposed to be a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's revered
just, like,
by his people.
But they went and just like twisted him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think because Rumpel kind of changed the history of the story.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed... It's the Ogre Wars. He's the leader of the group, and he's got everyone ready, and they're fighting, and he even encouraged that one guy to go back out there and not run away and go fight, and then he got stomped on by an ogre, and I felt really bad for that kid.
I know.
I was like, dang, Beowulf set you up. But, you know, it's this guy, he's leading the charge. They're, you know, in his eyes, they were going to win that battle, and then in walks Rumpelstiltskin, who had ran away from the war and just, like, whoosh with his dagger, made all the ogres drop dead and disintegrate, and boom, goodbye.
Yeah, he did. And honestly, like, this part of the story to me, when we open up with something like this, like, I was expecting to open up, I don't know, on Emma, because P.S., where was she last week? We barely saw her.
Mm-hmm. We didn't see her much this week at all.
So, and we hadn't last week. So when we open up on something like this, I'm always like, okay, this must be something super important. You have to pay attention. Otherwise, they wouldn't be opening up on this. And I get where we went with this story, but how it started, I just don't care about this Beowulf fellow. I just don't.
Yeah, you keep calling him Beowulf. Beowulf. She literally wrote in her Beowulf notes, guys, like, Bay-a-wolf. Like,
Beowulf. If you slur together, it sounds right.
Oh, I can't get there, bro. But,
like, I mean, and this isn't the first time that once is taken in, like, an already iconic story and twisted it in their own Once Upon a Ways. I mean, we had Peter Pan. He was supposed to be a good person. We saw in the show he was completely a villain. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think it's interesting that they did the dark turn and twist.
Right, because not everyone can be a hero.
But the problem is they tied it to a storyline that we literally saw in season one that, like, none of us hardly remember anymore. Like, what's the point of the Ogre Wars?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then when
it doesn't even line up to Rumple anyways.
Right. It didn't quite work for me. And then when Beowulf Homeboy walks into the bar and is like, yo, you're the Dark One. It's like, look at his face. Look at his face. We know he's the Dark One.
Right.
He's got gold skin. Like, Tiana and I were freaking out about that.
I was
moment.
Like, wait a second. Did they not know he was? Like,
this
why?
Guy's just got really bad, crusty skin. It's flaking. It's okay. It's a gold tint to it. It's fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was so weird.
Something
look
else,
at him.
Thinking back on it now, something else that's interesting is that Beowulf. Now you have me saying it wrong.
Yeah, Beowulf.
He calls him out on being the Dark One, and then he's like, you know, all this dark magic comes with a price. But instead of letting things play out as they will, and Rumpelstiltskin will get what's coming to him, he decided to take matters into his own hands and try to set him up and, you know, lure him to the cave because Grendel was there, and then he was going to tell all the villagers that, you know, he had killed everyone and he was this terrible person. And this
malicious.
Is malicious. Yeah, malicious. But this is the only part of the story that I really, you know, I kind of got it. I was like, okay, it's going back to getting the sympathy for Rumple again.
Mm-hmm.
And to show that, you know, he didn't have to go down this dark route that he went down, but it was, you know, other people and their influences and what they were doing that really pushed him over the ledge.
Yes, but Tiana, the biggest problem with what you just said is, why would we need to get sympathy for Rumple? Is it perhaps because they're trying to put him back with Belle?
Probably.
Oh, God, no.
Most likely.
Because why else do we need to sympathize for this man? I'm done sympathizing for him.
It's just to show that his actions were to, you know, protect his son, his actions were intended to be well received, and they went down a different route. And so it's to show that, you know, it's very easy to stumble into the darkness,
right.
And he doesn't want his Gideon to go down the same path.
They gave that backstory so that way we would be like, okay, we get where he's coming from, and this is why he's so avid to make sure his other son doesn't turn out this way. But I was just so sad that, like, I thought it was great for the story, but whenever Bellfire, he was the one who did this, whenever he was the one who was so adamant on my father cannot kill anyone, and then he's the one that's like, no, do it. I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, he got the twist.
I was so sad, but I loved it. I thought it was great for the story, but after that whole memory potion thing, I was just like, are you kidding me? His son got mad, and if he would have just told his son, or just not given him the memory potion, and just been like, look, you forced me to do this, we're not doing this anymore.
But it's kind of weird, because if you have that inside you, which apparently Bellfire did, because we've been watching the show for so many years thinking that Bay didn't do this and that he didn't have that inside him.
Mm-hmm.
If you had it inside you once, there are so many opportunities that it would have presented itself again. Don't you think he would have made the same choice at a second
because
time?
The darkness was already in his heart at that point.
Right.
You know, according to what this the show has like set up for us. He made the dark choice. He chose to have that person killed. So that's already the darkness is in him. Mm-hmm. And erasing the memories of what he did doesn't erase that dark spot in his heart.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't erase that he's done that.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's why I didn't like where this went, especially once it turned on Bea. I was like, you can't take a character who the fans love and know as a true and noble and good guy, and in his death then go to a flashback of him doing something terrible, mm-hmm. and yeah. being the start of, you know, his father's whole downfall, and then cop out of it by being, oh, and then we erased his memory so he doesn't know he did that terrible yes. thing. Yeah. But now you guys know. How am I supposed to feel about him
but
now?
That's that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, why change a storyline that happened so long ago for it to literally end up moot?
Yeah.
I agree, and so does the chat. G1XRider13. It showed he had darkness in him, which ruins the messaging of his character.
Exactly.
Dina Setzo, sorry, I don't know how to say your last name. This ruined Bellfire's character. Frowny face. A lot of people are saying this. Yvonne Soto, they ruined Neil's character to give Gold sympathy.
I hate that.
Yeah, but like, that's you true. Can't make other people dark just to make Rumple look better.
Yeah.
I know, it's like, oh, well, it's okay, this guy's people, dark too, so...
Yeah. Yeah. You can't make people have evil ways just so Rumple turns out to show, like, smelling like a rose. No, yes. It doesn't work that way.
That's not how the real world works.
Rumple could literally prove himself, I've said this before, for like 5 seasons, and I would still not believe that he's actually...
Yeah.
...a good character, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've said it too, I agree completely. Rumple, I'm done.
I'm done with you, Rumple.
So Rumple, you don't cross the line now. so let's get out of the flashback zone and go into what this story tied into, which is Gideon's whole plan.
Just for your notes, sorry.
My little points there
yep.
of action. This is called Gideon's plan. dash poor blue fairy frowny face. So we have everyone's looking for Gideon. His plan basically now is to make the sword come back to life again because it's been shattered. Which, why didn't they destroy the... Is it called the helm? Is that
hilt.
What it... Hilt. I was close.
Because they want
a close trophy. Hilt. Sword
the
hilt.
Yeah, the hilt of the sword. Why is it in a safe? Clearly you know that it's important if you're keeping it locked away, but not important enough to just destroy outright.
Just destroy it outright, because if... Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but, like, if you got magic, don't you think that safes are easily broken into? I mean...
Yes.
It's like, oh, I'm just gonna, like, wave my hand and the combination will open.
If you're gonna put it somewhere, put it in Regina's vault.
And put it
in the vault. No, exactly what I was thinking. I was like, why do you have it at the police station when so many people have broken into that place?
Yeah. Seriously. There's never anyone working.
No. Put a protection spell around it or something. You know what I mean? Like, those are broken too, but I mean... You
know? Go the extra mile. They just didn't care. They're
throw it outside of the protection, you know, like Storybrooke's walls, like the protection spell. Maybe you try to throw it out.
They can't.
You can't?
No, it's just amazing, like, how all the most important magical items that no one should be able to touch is always stolen.
Yeah. It's all about plot devices.
Seriously.
Plot hole. So, in the effort to get this, you know, Gideon starts working with his dad to get the stuff. Of course, Rumple is trying to convince him not to go through with his plan of killing Emma or to become the savior because he needs her white magic, which I wrote down. Again, why don't we just ask her for help to free the people of your cursed world where the Black Fairy is? Why is it I have to do this? Why isn't it I can ask the girl for help and she can go be the savior because that is what she's meant to be?
I just feel like any... like young teenage or, you know, maybe after teenage man in this show is just so sword happy that they just like, they don't want to, you know, put down the sword and be like, hey, I really need your help. They want to be like, no, I'm going to kill him and all this kind of stuff. It's like, come on. Like, why can't you just put the sword down? Your hormones are running wild. Like, just put them down.
Which is why I sometimes still, like I said last week, I have a hard time believing Gideon's full story because it's like, oh, I have to do something completely dark and evil to an innocent person to then go be a hero. And Rumple's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
And giving into the darkness can only lead to heartbreak. And he's talking from someone who knows.
I'm just not down with this over and over again. I'm a bad person because I was raised by bad people. I'm just not down with it. You don't have to be a bad person because you are raised by bad people. People are raised by serial killers and they end up to be martyrs and saints. Like, you don't have to turn out that way. And I don't think it's good messaging on TV when we see that. Mm-hmm. When you see, like, based on somebody who their parents is, they have to go that way. No, it's wrong. I think it's wrong.
No, I completely agree with you because, you know, watching this episode, I kept thinking that nature versus nurture aspect. I mean, we see it. And, you know, just even the title of this episode, Ill-Boding Patterns. Yeah, this may have happened in the past and you learn from history. That doesn't define who you are now. It depends on what you do with it.
Exactly. Oh, I get it now because remember how he says when he was reading Her Handsome Hero, and that the black fairy basically
left the gate open,
yeah. And how he turned out to be a coward, just like his dad. It's like the lesson. He doesn't want to be the coward.
History repeating itself
in that way, where he could have helped that poor boy. But I mean, also you were a kid. What could you have done? The black fairy, if she was strong enough to defeat the blue fairy and take you away from her. Then as a kid, what are you supposed to, like, what
being
could you have
scared
done?
Scared and being a bad person are two completely different things. Mm-hmm. So you were scared and you didn't go help somebody who is in pain. Next time, hopefully you grow the power so that you will, but that doesn't make you a bad person. What makes you a bad person is that you're trying to murder somebody. Mm-hmm. That's exactly. What makes you a bad dude. Not that you didn't go help somebody when you could. Next time you should, but okay, you were afraid. Now you're trying to make other people feel afraid. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. This character's pissing me off.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's where he blurs the lines. He doesn't understand and have that distinction between what is bad and what's wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's interesting this whole episode that Rumple is the one trying to teach him the right path to go down.
I know.
And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, first of all, pot, kettle, black. But then also, it's showing that Rumple is trying to change and be a different person. He's like, so adamant to not let another one of his children make the wrong choice again that he's taking it on himself to do it. And
I mean, it's honorable, but it's like, at this point, we've seen Rumple try to change so many freaking times.
Belle's like, thank you for darkening your heart, Rumple, to save our son.
And, like, they hug, and I'm just
what is happening? But, guys, we haven't had Rumple actually have his child here and have an opportunity to really, like, this is a child, Bay, he lost, he got back as an adult, but he had that prime time with Bay where he got to get to know him and help try to guide him into the person that he is. Mm-hmm. He never got that chance with Gideon. And so I think he's really trying to make up for it and really learn from his past patterns of what he does with his kids and be a better parent.
I get it. And maybe good on Rumple for, like, realizing his past and maybe trying to do something about it. I think I'm actually more upset at how fast Belle was forgiving about this.
Me too, completely. I'm calling it now, Marissa. She's going to end up liking him again. She's going to want to be with him again because she's going to say that he's a good father. And that's changed everything. Yeah. It's bull, that word, for sure.
But
and I understand, like, she's trying to get into that mentality. It's like, I understand what you had to do. Yeah, it was dark. I get it. But I think I was just more upset at the fact that how so on board and how quick she was on with this. And so understanding and showing affection towards Rumple for doing something so dark.
But I think that's the mother side of her. It's the mother side of her that she would have made that choice to protect her child. Yeah. Because it's a mother's love that's coming into play here. And I don't think it necessarily has to do with him as a person that she's thinking. She's thanking him for protecting their son.
Yeah.
And as a mother, I'm not a mother, but from her point of view, like, as a mom, like, I can see that coming through. I would expect my mom to make a similar choice, or my dad to stop me from doing something. And, you know, it might not be the right choice for you personally, but you did it to protect your child. So that motherly side of her is what.
Here's the problem that I have with Belle, though, is, like, I mean, I talked about this in Broadway Breakdown today. We talked about the theater version in the film of Beauty and the Beast. Mm-hmm. Belle is such a powerful character. Yes, you were. Belle is such a powerful character. She always knows what she wants. She's very independent. And she gets things done herself. I have a little bit of a problem on how they portray her in the show, especially in recent episodes. She's very fragile. She's very, like, can't do anything herself type of thing. Very reliant on Rumpel. And just Melissa in the chat said she's so such a bad judgment of character. And it's like, she's nothing like the Belle that I know and love from the movie, the film. Mm-hmm. She's weak. And I hate that about her because she is such a big, strong female character in the film and in the theater show.
Yeah. I mean, I know that this show is allowed to take creative liberties and they're allowed to do what they want with their characters. They've just made a decision that makes it hard for me to rely on Belle or root for Belle when she keeps going back to the exact same thing that's causing all of her problems.
She's like that friend that comes back to you for like relationship advice and you sit there for 2 hours and give them relationship advice.
And then they do the same thing.
And then they do the same thing over and over.
What they wanted to do. It's like, why did you ask me?
At a certain point, you got to take a backseat and be like, you know what? Screw it. I've tried to help you so many times. And that's where I'm at with her.
Okay. I want to say something that's from the chat. Danielle Musella says, when it comes to Belle, I think she understands that while your obligation to each other as a couple might be over, your obligation to your kids is never over. And that's what I'm saying in this situation, that it's not necessarily Rumpel that she is embracing. It's like, hey, you did this for our child. We have to learn how to co-parent.
I agree.
The relationship can be done, but you have to be civil enough with each other to help your child.
Your obligation to your child. You have to absolutely. Team up. Now, you're telling me you think that this child is going to be better for having him in his life. I don't think so.
At this point, having his dad try to stop him from murdering someone, I think that's going to be better.
I completely understand that. You want to protect your child. Granted, the way you did it was so dark. I think what I'm more upset is, like, the writers trying to force upon Belle and Rumpel getting back together so soon after all this ish went down.
Yeah.
After all this ish.
No, it's not okay. It's way too soon.
What's up with the Blue Fairy right now? So they take the magic and
she's just knocked out. Because he's
powerless. I mean, doesn't seem like she's dead. She's just knocked out, but they drained her of her powers. And Rumpel did say the line, you know, blah, 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 when I get my dagger back, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'll return her power. Mm-hmm. So he has the ability to give her magic back.
But so for now, homegirl's just going to stay asleep, or she's just going to wake up and have no magic?
I feel like she's going to wake up and have no magic. And I think that's why he also put it on himself to be the one to do this, because he then would have the power to give it back to her. Because perhaps if Gideon had done it, then she couldn't get her powers back because Gideon would be in charge of it. Like, whoever takes the power is the one who has to give it back, kind of thing.
If you think about it, since Rumpel has Blue Fairy's magic, he essentially has the magic to wield the sword. Gideon may own it and possess it, but Rumpel is the one who actually has the power of the sword right now.
And he probably knew that Gideon then would give back the swivelly stick.
Dagger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The swivelly stick.
The zigzag dagger.
Oh my god.
The dark one dagger. Swivelly stick.
But we do know that Gideon is still going to go after Emma again, and that now that the sword has been reforged, it's more powerful than it was the last time. So
it's
Emma, you in danger, girl.
Don't you ever want to look at somebody and just say, be more chill? Like, just be more chill. We could all use it in life. Just woo-saw, my child. Chill.
Well, it's like, Rumpel may have stopped him. Like, Rumpel may have stopped him from darkening his heart, but that's only for a limited time. Like, okay, you stopped him this one time, but he's going to try it again. So, like, you kind of just made yourself worse type of a thing.
He's going to have to die.
You think Gideon's going
to
die?
I think he's going to have to.
Yeah.
Because he's never going to be good, so he's going to have to die.
Or if he is, he's going to be, like, kept around, like, Xelina and be is he good? Is he bad? Oh, I don't know.
Interesting thing is, like, every episode that we've had Gideon so far, they always drop at least one line, like, you're a good person, Gideon. And again, that's why I still say it's that Star Wars, Darth Vader, Kylo Ren parallelism. Like, there is hope within him. There might be that moment where he changes the last second, be like, oh, yeah, I'm good, sorry.
Yeah, maybe, and then he dies.
I'm predicting that, and that's an early prediction that I mentioned before. But every episode, they dropped the line and gave the audience a hint that he's good. So we might actually see a moment where he actually turns good.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I would like to see that again. I just still don't believe his story. I haven't seen flashbacks of his childhood yet. I haven't seen the Black Fairy yet. I need more proof that you know, what he's saying is actually what happened, and that this isn't just a bigger plot of him just being an evil dark guy. Speaking of evil dark guys, Robin Hood 2.0 really He really took a turn tonight, huh?
He did.
Marissa, why are they doing this to us?
I don't know. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. Like, I thank you, everyone in the live chat, also commenting that I don't like this one point Robin either. And it's very upsetting when they keep putting them, him and Regina together, and you can see the chemistry, but then, like, at least I'm glad that they're self-aware that, hey, I'm not the old Robin that you know and love.
Yeah.
I'm not this person. You try to keep reforming me and try to make me remember all these things from someone else's life, not mine. And it's frustrating knowing that's so true.
Yes. And what is their plan here? Are they trying to put Swan Point Robin with Evil Queen? Like, is that what they're attempting to do? Because, ew. No.
No, that's
we
so
will rebel.
Wrong.
I will rebel. We will riot in the street.
Why? The regular...
We're going to have signs. Yeah. No!
That's what they'll say? Just no?
Roxy, I'm already there. I'm already there.
But if Regina got to have normal, nice, regular Robin, why wouldn't the Evil Queen get this Robin?
I feel like it's
going to
happen.
Because it's not
like
Regina that we want.
And Robin exactly 2.0 isn't actually evil like Evil Queen.
I don't know.
He might
he
be now.
He stole that magic to get out of here. He's working... Well, he's hanging out with her now. He teamed up with Zelina to get out of there.
He's not good.
He's not okay. Good, for sure. He said he came to this land for a new... For a new start, new people to rob, new places to steal from. Like,
yeah, I'm not
every
a good
place
person.
To drink. new bars.
Yeah. Nicholas Stormy says, I'm so excited for Evil Queen and Evil Robin.
No.
You've got to explain why. No, I have Nicholas. To know why. Also, somebody in here was talking, Emma Frost was talking about Regina's hat. I literally wrote down, why is she looking like Carmen Sandiego? What was Regina's outfit tonight? Like,
no, I completely agree, because I noticed too. Okay, she's wearing a tan jacket. I was like, all right, good for the neutrals. At least she's getting away from black.
Yeah, like, but it was like a trench coat.
But then she was wearing her, like, purpley shirt, and then a hat that totally did not match color scheme. Yeah. She did not have it.
That was bizarre.
Like, love you, Regina.
She usually looks amazing.
What is happening?
Yeah.
What is happening?
I don't
she
know.
Literally wore three different colors in her outfit. I was like,
oh,
this
my
something
gosh.
Is happening.
Yeah, it was not right. Evil Queen got in her head.
She's going through some things right now, guys. She's got Robin back, but it's not Robin. She's she can't think. She can't eat.
She overthought that one so much. She was like, gotta look good for 2.0. Oh my god, let me try this. No, girl. Just do what you were doing before. Go
three colors. It was three distinct different colors.
Yeah. Weird. It was weird.
But the Evil Queen is also back. That freaking snake that I hate.
Oh, the cobra.
Yes. That I hate. I honestly can't tell you what happened at the end there with the snake and Robin because I had my eyes closed. So you guys, please talk.
So basically,
I have no idea what happened.
He still had some magic left on him from being able to, like...
No, some
anti-magic. Yeah. Like, to be able to come through the realm.
Oh, because when the thing exploded on him when they tried to do the production spell thing.
So she needed to bite him in order to get some of that anti-magic in her system so that way it would make her...
How did she get out? How did no one notice that the snake wasn't in the cage?
Yeah.
How did no one notice that, like, the snakes
were sneaky?
Away?
Well, I think it was under the cover there, and, like, when they took the cover off, there was a big, noticeable hole.
Yeah.
I didn't see that either, because as soon as they went to take it back, I closed my eyes.
I mean, if you're going to, like, keep a snake in like, confined, maybe put it in something that doesn't have bars.
Like a glass box?
Mm-hmm. Maybe a glass box with, like,
or
a
or just get a
lid.
Ditch in the ground, like, the hole. Let's just bury it under dirt.
Or take a shovel and chop off its head, because that's what you're supposed to do to
cover
kill the snake.
Yeah.
Or we can get an Operation Mongoose back, because Mongoose couldn't kill cobras, you guys.
Okay, but can we talk about, where is Henry? True. Where is Henrold?
why don't we ask you? You're his brother.
I know. I've been trying to get a hold of him, you guys. No, but seriously.
You're really concerned
about him.
He's been gone for 2 episodes now.
Yeah.
Well, he went fishing with his mom last week.
Yeah, he was on the boat and he forgot the life jackets, which was really annoying of him, Henry. Come on.
Come on. But seriously, though.
I think that, honestly, they're, like, steering us away from Emma Henry storylines. I don't know why, but...
Is that, like, a
I think it's because
like
they're, like, trying to build the Emma Hook storyline, too. But you also remember, we didn't get Snow or David in this episode, either.
I feel like if they are going to come back for a season... What is it going to be? Season 7?
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be, like you guys said last week, without a lot of our favorite characters. So I think maybe they're listed the characters that they're talking to, Dakota. I know. Yeah. I'm saying maybe they're just trying to phase some characters out and like give other characters more of a storyline. But it's like if they are trying to do that, it's unfair to us because we need closure on some of our favorite storylines. And by just like kind of phasing them out, we're going to be sad.
Okay, but in all fairness, Holly Lehman in the chat says, hopefully at school. That's right. Maybe that's where Henry is. He's getting an edumacation. He should be getting educated. Oh, good.
And to be fair, they have been using less and less of Snow and David for the last two or three seasons now. Mm-hmm. I mean, a little bit had to do with the pregnancy, you know, because Jennifer couldn't clearly shoot once she had the baby and stuff. But it's past that now. And it's just always been kind of dialed back on them. They're series regulars, so they get paid every week regardless. So more power to them. You got a week off of work and you still got paid.
Yep. Rock Netta says Zelina wanted to go to New York City to be in Wicked.
It is funny that that's the first place she, like, every time someone tries to leave this town, it's like, I'm going to New York City. Yeah.
I know. It's like, come to LA.
The only city they've been to outside of Storybook.
Further away from Storybook than like Boston at some point.
You do realize there are other metropolis cities in the country.
Yeah.
Try Chicago. Nice right. Come on.
Try Boston. LA. Why not?
I mean, why not?
They fit right in LA.
Right?
Hollywood Boulevard. You guys would be great there. Oh, they would be
great there.
We need that episode.
I'm trying to find my son. Like, you know, be like, okay.
There he is. Yeah. He's been putting the Grommans.
So now the part of the episode that I've avoided the most because hashtag Coker for life. So the show, we first see Hook hanging out with Archie at Granny's, and he's like, hey, you know, how's it going? What's good? You talk to David? And he's like, yeah, but now I have this huge secret that I don't know if I should tell Emma or not about it, because if I tell her, she might not want to marry me, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yo, you know, because you want to tell her, that's a sign that you've changed and you're a better person.
David even told you you've changed.
Yeah, David even told you changed, so maybe that's a sign that you do need to tell her. And here I'm just like, wow, you guys are really just like twisting a knife in my heart right now with this whole you're a changed person and a good guy now. Because then comes the part where he's like, okay, finally, I've had enough shots of Captain Morgan, I'm going to go tell the truth. And then Roxy straight up calls it. She was like, she found the ring. Before we even see Emma, before he even walks in the house.
Look at you.
She goes, she found the ring.
I'm always doing this. You guys know. I'm always 10 steps ahead. I always pick up on everything.
Yeah. So that
especially
kind
when it comes to Hooker for life.
Yeah. That kind of ruins the whole I'm going to confess to Emma thing and turns it into I'm going to propose to her kind of thing. Right after they go, we're going into this with no secrets.
There's so many issues here. Now, let's break it down for a second. Number one, put this in the real world for a second. If you have a girlfriend, like I'm just talking about a friend who's a girl, if any of us had friends who are girls, and she calls you and she's like, oh my God, I think my boyfriend's going to propose because I found the ring. What is the advice you give her? You say, put the ring back. And let him surprise you because he just damn dropped $30,000 on that ring. I saw that ring. And he wants to propose. And we've waited for years for this. And you're going to just hand it to him? Are you proposing to yourself? What is wrong with you?
But the other thing I was thinking about when that was happening along those lines is that if you thought he was struggling because he's like, you know, I don't know how to tell you this because it's going to affect things. And she's like, oh, it's okay. My answer is going to be yes. He didn't even have the ring. You know he doesn't have the ring on him.
Because it's in your hand.
So there's no way this was set up to be a proposal
right now. Oh my gosh, so true.
You have the ring.
Exactly.
He's not going to be like, oh, I'm so nervous to ask you this question. Will you marry me? Oh, the ring's upstairs. Let me go get it.
No, you're right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she's got that ring in her hand. She thought from the entire time it took for her to get from the bedroom downstairs, this is a good idea. Me in my sober state of mind, I'm just going to bring him the ring because I'm sure he just forgot it, and so he needs it to propose to me.
Right, and oh, you've been drinking. Okay, this is a perfect time for you to propose to me.
Yes, Captain what a memorable Morgan. Moment. Yes, right. As you reek of booze,
I will say
pirate.
This. My grandfather proposed to my grandmother in a bar drunk, and she was like, I said yes and married him right away, so he couldn't change his mind. And to God, that's a true life story.
At least he asked her. At least he
was drunk, and I made sure he remembered the next day.
Yeah.
So.
This is just
wild.
They've
been married for 60 years.
It's a really crappy setup.
Yes,
for something that we've all been wanting for and deserve.
Yes.
an actual proper proposal.
Because now it's ruined. Because, like, you and can't now, redo it.
Yes, you can't redo it. But that was just one part of it. The second part is, now it's built on a lie. Now we have this massive secret. And, like, how long, Hook, have you known this for? Did you just put these pieces together because you see this and you're finally realizing who David's father is? I don't think so.
Really?
I think you've known this for quite some time.
Really? Oh, no, I don't think that.
No.
Oh, I think that was the first time he saw a picture of...
I think it reminded him. I think it's father. Because David's talked about it and we've seen other images from different pages of the story.
But if all David has said is that his father died drunkenly driving a cart off the road, Hook wouldn't think... Oh,
maybe
I had something to do with that. And it happened when David was so young that, you know, it's so
far... I would
far
love to think that. I want to think that.
I think you should, because I rewatched that part and it was very obvious that he was like, oh my gosh, because the photo of him. Mm-hmm. And he recognized it. He's like, oh my gosh. He seemed shattered.
I saw that, but to me, the oh my gosh was now there's proof.
Really?
That's what it looked like to me, honestly.
Because I don't think he would have been so quick to go into the dark space of, I need to tell Emma this, if... It was like, oh crap, there's proof now.
Maybe not, and I hope you guys are right, and you're persuading me a little bit, but what I will say is, the second it comes up, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You either tell her or you don't, and if your decision is to tell her, then you don't go and get pissed drunk at a bar.
Yeah.
That is not a conversation you have wasted. That's I murdered your grandfather. Is this something you want to be wasted for?
No.
You want to be trashed for that? Smart, Hook. Really smart.
I would want to have a little bit of liquor and courage. Not trashed.
He was drunk, wasted. He'd been there all day. He changed locations at the damn bar. He started at one place and ended up in a booth.
But he was drinking slowly throughout the day. You know, it wasn't like...
No, he was gone.
A rager.
It was a rager.
But I do think that... I will say that I was so angry about this proposal and that it was happening... I blacked out. I don't even remember. I saw him get down on one knee. I don't remember the words that came out of his mouth for this proposal. All I wrote down was, like, this whole thing is ruined and tarnished.
It wasn't his words. She said the words.
Yeah, like, after he got down on a knee, like, I don't know what happened after that. I just stopped watching.
Basically.
I'm so blackout mad right now.
I'll fill in the gap for you. He got on his knees, like, so will you marry me? And then he puts on the ring first before she even says yes. I mean, she said yes like 20 seconds earlier. But he puts on the ring, and then they like start making out and all that. And then there was a beautiful cinematography shot with theirs revolving around them kissing.
Didn't even see that. Maybe I should see that at some point. I was so just like, my eyes were red and filled with fury that this was the way
Emma,
a princess, was getting her proposal.
But that's the thing. It's not even memorable because it was that bad.
Yes, and it's not even the last scene in the episode. We've been waiting for years for an engagement, and it's not a mid-season finale. It's not the premiere. It's not in the last 5 minutes, like the last scene of the show. It doesn't open the show. This was thrown in a random episode 12, surrounded by other crazy things. Like, that's the proposal you're giving me?
That just makes my heart hurt, because that just means that this isn't going to end well and that they're not gonna end up getting married. In my eyes, this is what this means, is that it started on a lie. Eventually, the truth's gonna come out, and it's gonna be so bad that Emma is gonna be so angry with him for not just telling her from the start that everything that they've worked for is going to be thrown away because of this.
Wow. And I love that Emma even says, like, no secrets, no walls.
Yeah.
Girl.
And then,
boom. Little do you know.
Little do you know, girl.
It's all lie.
Casket fam one, # facepalm of a proposal.
Casket fam one has had some good comments.
Yeah, loving it.
So that kind of wraps out this episode, which, I mean, sounds like the chat was a little bit on our side tonight.
Yeah, they're definitely on team Hook didn't know, though. So I'm so glad that we're getting to be on that team that Hook didn't realize.
Because at first I jumped to conclusions too, and I was like, oh my gosh.
But I set him straight last week.
Yeah.
Tiana was like, you're not coming after my man like that.
Yeah.
No way.
Good.
So, who wants to be in charge of Weave of the Week?
Well, it definitely wasn't Regina this
time.
Once upon a Weave. It wasn't my girl.
No, oh my God, for sure. It was not.
I'm going to give it to the evil queen, because she made her big triumphant return in all of her glorious glory that is the evil queen. So she gets it for me.
I think so. I think, I mean, anytime the evil queen is in an episode at all, it's pretty much a given.
It was quite the return. Albeit unfortunate that we know that evil queen is back, but it was quite the entrance on her part.
I feel like the ogre should get it.
The ogre had a lot of weave going on.
Oh, dude, but that ogre was great looking.
That was some CGI weave.
We're always talking about maybe sometimes the CGI doesn't really look that good because, granted, they're on a very, very tight schedule. But I thought it was great.
Yeah, and they made it
just dark enough that it looked, I completely agree. So ogre gets the weave for me.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting Grendel, but then, you know, to fight Beowulf. And because that's a legendary creature too, but they spent all their production budget on the ogres. Which, I mean, they look badass. I'll just say that.
Which these ogres were a lot bigger than the ones we've seen in the past. So yeah. I was like, huge. Oh, wait, this isn't like the ogre that was at the bridge that one time in season one.
It reminded me of the troll from Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like just swinging around,
Swing my bat.
Knocking people over.
I wanted them.
Ivan says Hook and Emma will get married. The panel already confirmed, like whenever they were at Comic-Con, I guess.
Okay, here's what I'll say though. Ivan, you know you're the homie. We love you, Ivan. You be putting things in this chat sometimes that are not true. You be making things up all the time. You write things, you're like, this is confirmed, and then I'll look and I can't find a confirmation. Send links. Send love.
Send us a link. I want to see this. We love you, Ivan.
No, Ivan, you are the best. We love you. But I know that you write things in here sometimes say confirmed, that you have confirmed yourself.
Yeah, if anything you learn from the newsroom, you always have to get two sources of confirmation before you write your story.
Give me your two
Thank
sources.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Well, on that note, let's move into our predictions.
Oh, here it is. TV.
I'm just waiting for Ivan to get pissed.
I know.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to yell at you,
Roxy. Yelling in all caps.
So I can say that
he says it was from an interview, Roxy. Show me the proof, Ivan.
Show us the toolings. To
well,
the
then
interview.
Even if they do end up getting married, it pisses me off even more that like they're gonna have a divorce now because of this huge secret that he let. Allowed to go into a marriage with.
Like, you think they would learn their lesson by now. Like, secrets come out. You can't just hold it back. Like, it's gonna come out.
Secrets don't make friends.
Exactly.
True. No, very true.
Or relationships.
Well, the problem is, now that he has the pages, I don't think he's gonna put it back into the book, obviously. But I think Emma, if we're going into predictions, I think Emma's gonna cross these pages, like, probably the day of, within the hour that they actually get married, if they are going to get married. And then be like, yo, Hook, what's up with this? And then we're like, oh, we need a serious chat or an annulment.
So right she found the ring but didn't find the pages?
Yeah. Like something's out of order. Where's your...
He's keeping those in his pocket.
What?
He's like, I don't need to hide this ring because whatever, so I'll put it in the trunk, but these pages, I gotta keep close to my chest.
But what happened to your superpower when you know she's lying?
Yeah, and that happened last week, too, with the whole thing with the life jacket. She's like, I know you're lying. And then he makes up another lie, and she's like, all right, cool. I'm like, well... No,
that's a lie, too.
Yeah. I'm like...
All right. Her superpower is fritzy.
Yeah, on the fritz for sure.
Totally on the fritz.
Maybe she's been after that booze life, too.
Dakota, you she have any predictions?
You know what?
Are you just going to repeat something that you saw in the preview for next week and take it as your own?
Deanna... No.
You were going to do it.
No.
You're totally going to do that.
I don't have a prediction this week.
He's afraid to say his.
I'm just going to say no prediction this week.
I predict that Regina is going to go against the evil queen.
Final showdown.
How do you know my prediction?
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
I'm actually really excited for this. I'm really excited.
I know.
But
I hope it's
going to be Regina-centric, and I'm all for it.
Do you think it really is the final
showdown? Don't tell me it's the final one. No. I have three more.
I don't think it's going to be the final one.
One of them needs to be gone for good.
Fake news.
It's going to be Evil Queen, Avi.
What is the chance that Robin's the prize? Like, what are they fighting for?
I don't know.
It's like Mulan.
Yeah.
Like, girl, what are we fighting for?
Exactly.
Yes.
Roxy, that's a great prediction. Like, I'm so happy for you for thinking of that.
Yeah.
My prediction is that...
Lame.
You're lame. is that Snow and David will break their curse in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks? You said that before, like, a couple weeks ago.
He's just going to find fault with whatever. It's the one thing that I know has to happen still.
Yeah.
Like, why do you say in 2 weeks and not next episode? Is it
because next
episode
is
going to
be about...
It's
Regina.
Because we didn't see it in the preview for next week.
And, like, we saw the Evil Queen looking for them, but I don't think that... Well, she was looking for Snow.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be curse broken and a big fight. It's got to be one or the other.
Well, we got so much stuff that happened in this week's episode, too. they're like, all right, we gave them a lot. We'll take a week off.
We pissed them off, is what they're saying. We pissed everyone off, so let's make them happy by having Regina defeat the evil queen.
Obviously, the evil queen's going to die. We're not going to lose Regina.
Don't say obviously.
Well, like, okay, so
you never know.
It's confirmed. That's the question. Is evil queen going to die, or is Regina going to, like, absorb her old self back into, and she just takes back the powers?
Well, that would be the final showdown, then.
The final show.
Like, she does absorb her.
Maybe her evil queen side truly actually never dies.
It's kind of like, you know how sometimes she has to live with whenever it. Someone's pregnant with twins and one just kind of absorbs the other. Have you heard about that?
Yes. Well, they don't absorb them, they eat them.
They eat them.
That's really sad. Yeah. Oh my God. Can you imagine living with that? Like, I feel like as soon as you become an out.
Most parents don't tell their kids that.
As soon as you become an out.
You don't know.
I might have.
Your parents didn't tell you.
As soon as they be coming out the birth canal, they better be taken away in handcuffs, though. That's all I'm saying.
I just think my big
Dakota, we're all born with sin, okay? Some of us are born with more sin than others, but we're all born with it, okay?
Okay.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was my turn.
Oh, gosh. Well, this show is definitely out of control. Yeah. So, anyone have any final predictions? We're all good. We're good, Dakota. We're good. I don't need to hear what's coming out of your mouth.
Oh, my God. If she does absorb her, then can we enter with Spice Girls and Two Become One?
Yeah.
Or I always thought that was about a lesbian experience, but
it really was about eating your own twin.
You get the best of both worlds.
Did you just have to one up?
Did you?
No,
you did not sing Hannah Montana.
That is the age gap at this panel right now. But you went with Spice Girls, and he went with Hannah Montana.
I'm dying. Like, you did not do Hannah Montana right now.
Yes, I did.
All right, guys, this has been a great show. I had so much fun. I hope you guys at home who are listening and watching. Also had a great time. Thank you for tuning in. Let the good folks know where to find you, especially you, Dakota, because I feel like people have some things they want to say.
Please do. You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV.
You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
And I'm at the Tiana Hobson. Make sure you check out all the shows that AfterBuzz TV does here. Check out our website, our YouTube channel, our iTunes. Leave us comments. Give us stars. Give us thumbs up. And high fives. You're supposed to high five.
Boom.
Oh, okay. Well, you're supposed to high five me too. High five. Boom. Oh, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.